Programming support for ASISU Speaks on KISU comes from ISU Credit Union. ISUCU is the Southeast Idaho Credit Union with the educational community in mind. They provide financial solutions to ISU students, faculty, staff, alumni, as well as local school district teachers and students. They currently have 2 branches and 7 ATMs on ISU's Pocatello campus for immediate access when required. ISU Credit Union, the credit union that roars.
This edition of ASISU Speaks is hosted by Nayeli Alvarez and features guest Pam Pasquale, ASISU Senator for the College of Arts and Letters.
Hi, Pam. How are you doing today?
Hi, doing well. Thanks, Nayeli.
So, welcome to your first ASISU Speaks. Are you excited to start out this semester as a new senator coming into the COVID-19 school year?
Excited, but also interested. It's going to be an interesting year, so we will see.
Yeah, for sure. So let's start with learning a little bit about you. So where are you from?
I'm actually born and raised here in Pocatello. And then I moved away when I was about 19 and then came back around for school. So.
All right, where'd you move to?
So my husband was in the military, so we did 3 years in New York and 4 years in Hawaii, and then we came back to ISU to go back to school.
Oh, nice. Which one was your favorite? Because you went from East Coast to West Coast?
Yeah, we lived upstate New York, like Amish country, 20 minutes from Canada, and I would say that is definitely my favorite. I found out real quickly that I'm a mountain person, not a beach person. James would say the opposite. He loved Hawaii, so we got a little taste of both.
A little taste of both, and then ended up back in Idaho with all 4 seasons in 1 week.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so James was actually a senator for ASISU last year who was also representing the College of Arts and Letters. So it's, for me, I'm excited to have the Senator Pasquale name continue on.
Yeah, it's been really cool watching the kinds of things that Senate can do and learning about it and then deciding to get involved myself. So I am looking forward to seeing what we can do this year for students.
So you guys both came back to ISU. What made you guys want to come here? Was it just because you knew the school, or was it because ISU gave you guys some scholarships?
It's mostly because we know the area, we like the area, and then we actually paid taxes to Idaho the whole time we're in the military.
Oh.
So we still were technically in-state tuition, but we do really like the area. After being everywhere else, we really liked Pocatello. So.
Yeah, that's the one thing, because I haven't lived anywhere else yet, but just traveling around, and I like to travel. I like the busyness of big cities. I like that there's always something going on, that there's always, you know, you see something new every day versus here. It's, you know, a lot quieter, a lot calmer. But there's always something, like you have to drive 5 minutes out and there's always some kind of nature walk. I like being able to like go outside when it's just stressful during school and just be surrounded by mountains instead of just like car horns. So yeah, Idaho would be the better choice, I would say, for getting an education. Yeah.
The calm environment definitely helps. I like bigger cities. You know, there's always crazy stuff to do at all times of the day, but Pocatello is really good for getting education because there is stuff for students, but there's not so much that's distracting. So.
Oh, for sure. So how long have you been at ISU now?
I think this is my 4th year because I started going part-time, but my husband is in his doctorate, so we've been back for quite a while, but I'm a senior this year.
You're studying anthropology, give the fans just a little description of anthropology, because when I was taking my generals and I had the choice of anthropology or like a sociology class, I was a little confused, but then I chose the anthropology route and I'm just like, wow, this is so interesting.
Yeah, so American anthropology that we teach here in the States it's a holistic approach. So it actually encompasses 4 subfields. So we have like biological anthropology, which would include things like forensics and CSI work and things like that. And then we have linguistic anthropology, which is, you know, study of languages. We have sociocultural anthropology, which would be the study of cultures, the changing cultures, things like that. And then we have archaeology. So I do archaeology. It's not quite a minor, but it's kind of my specific. And then inside of archaeology, I actually focus on like microarchaeology and chemical archaeology. So that's how the breakdown happens.
Wow. So go a little bit more into that. Like, what got you into that field of anthropology?
I've always liked archaeology and just, you know, like picking up rocks and like being a little kid and sticking stuff in your pockets and learning about history. And archaeology kind of encompasses geology and history and anthropology. So that's really cool. And then I took a couple of courses in the department that introduced me to, we have an archaeology lab on campus. And so I hassled the director of the lab until he gave me a job. So now I work at the Camus lab up in the new Eames building, and we do chemical archaeology up there with stuff that samples people send us from all over the world. So it's really exciting, and it's really cool opportunity for, you know, especially undergrads to get a handle like pottery from Belize and bones from Incan mummies. So it's really exciting.
That sounds freaking cool. What would be the most interesting thing that you found working in the lab so far?
Well, for a personal find, I guess I did a summer research project about obsidian in Nevada and trying to find the geochemical signature of different obsidian sources. And then through analysis and then analyze obsidian artifacts at the museum, you can kind of match them up to artifacts to actually where people picked up the original material. So I did a bunch of work for that, and it's an ongoing project with a bunch of other people, but my little portion of it was Nevada. And somebody else at the museum said, hey, we actually found 15 artifacts that match your sources that you just found in Nevada. So that's kind of cool, because it's artifacts that have been found on the Snake River Plains. You know, that's where the arrowhead was dropped or whatever. But the original rock they picked up to make it with was found in northwestern Nevada. So that just, you know, talks about the spread of people. That was a personal find that's pretty cool, but I'm still working on that stuff.
Wow, no, that is pretty cool. Why is your field of study important?
Anthropology specifically is really important. Even like you said, you took the intro class. And I think it's really important because it shows people a holistic approach to this, the human experience. Anthropology deals with a lot of social issues, like cultural appropriation, you know, artifacts in museum, who do they actually belong to, how cultures change, how languages change, you know, that's just part of the human experience, and how we as humans just change over time. I think it's really important for everybody to get a little bit of taste of that, just because it broadens like your world's perspective to know that, you know, this culture over here isn't less than because they are still using XYZ technologies, you know, and we're not greater than because we have this technology. You know, culture and human progress isn't linear. It comes in different ways. And so I really think it helps broaden people's perspective to think of us at all as we're moving on our own paths. And no culture is, you know, headed on the right path, and no culture is headed on the wrong path. We're all just in the human experience on a path, and you can appreciate different people's approaches. So I think overall anthropology is really helpful just for that global worldview as a world citizen, you know?
Yeah. And I definitely think that perspective is the one thing that kind of makes people scared if they lack it. Just trying to understand a different culture or why people may do or act the way they do is because there's a lot of history behind it. There's a lot, we're all just, I like how you said it, we're all in this human experience together, you know, it's not linear.
You know, just that one intro class, they touch on a lot of that kind of stuff. I think it's just really important just for people to see. And like you said, you might be scared of it, or you might have those inherent fears that you maybe don't know about because you don't know about it yet. But if you can identify that cultures are different and they have reasons why they're different and all of the reasons are valid, then nobody's better than somebody else. So it just puts a different perspective on people. So I think that's super important.
Yeah. And it's life skills that all of us can take with us. Just be perspective, be a little bit understanding. And plus you can learn something incredible from everybody you meet.
Yeah, it's really cool. You get to learn a lot of cool stuff, a lot of cool things about cultures, you know. It's just really fun. They go a lot into like human resources almost, which I think is super important for people. Just working in diverse places. Like, we're all going out into the world after we get our degrees, and we're going to work in diverse companies. Some of us might leave Pocatello for the first time and go to big cities. And just having that global perspective, I think, will really, it just makes everybody, you know, a little bit better prepared to enter the bigger world outside of our small communities. So,
oh, yeah. I've been trying to, I guess, understand the culture of, I guess, the field I'm going into. Advertising is primarily, I think it was like 66 to 70% white. Public relations is more female dominated, but advertising is more male dominated. So it's been my goal, just while I'm finishing out my degree, to try to understand the diversity loopholes I'm going to have to face going into my field, and just what the culture context might be like. An anthropology class or two mixed with sociology and psychology, I feel like it's me better prepared to handle what's about to happen. But
yeah,
I do recommend taking an anthropology class if you guys have it in your schedule. It's really,
yeah, definitely. You can, like you said, you can look at the culture of your workplace even, and identify their, you know, their cultural norms and how you can fit into it. Or, you know, if you're new to the place, how to not rock the boat if you don't understand quite right what you're quite yet what's happening. But yeah, culture is everywhere. And once you get the little, you know, glimpse into it and you can understand how to identify it, you can pick apart stuff like how to advertise to a demographic, or how to fit into your new cultural workplace, or, you know, stuff like that. So it's super handy. Secret, top secret knowledge, right?
Top secret anthro knowledge. That
yeah.
Let me try this question, but it's okay if you don't have an answer. Are there any big debates in your field?
I don't know. It's like, people are always debating. You know, one that we focus on a lot at ISU, just because we have the specialty teachers for it, is migration into North America. You know, how did it start? Where did it start? How did it happen? That kind of stuff. So there's a couple of theories. You know, there's one that says people came across the land bridge between Russia and Alaska, what's now Russia and Alaska, and then they came down either the coastline, because there used to be huge glaciers that came all the way down to like Utah from Canada, all the way down into Utah and like almost Mississippi, there was glaciers. So they weren't always passable. So there's one theory that says people came down the coast because the coasts were open. And then there's another theory that says during warmer periods, you know, there's thousands of years of warm periods, glacier valleys would open and people could come down like through Idaho, through Oregon, and then down into, and then move down into the southern United States. Or, you know, there's people that say, oh, they came across from Greenland into Canada and came down and explored. Or there's another one that says they came from Asia in boats across the ocean. So there's always big debates. You know, the more you learn about it, the more you figure out like, oh, okay, maybe they're not that big, but they're kind of interesting.
Yeah, I just barely learned last year in my geology class that glaciers covered Idaho and then to Utah. And then it finally, like, you know, once it like started melting back, that's when things started becoming more exposed. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, wow, I've lived here my whole life and just thought that we were just like on some rocky plains high above ocean point, just never seen the ocean bottom. So,
right.
So the anthropology club, I have seen them involved in a lot of things on campus. Do you want to talk a little bit on just like some of the things that the club does or what it's about? Because I know you've been a part of it for a while.
Yeah, I just finished up my term as the president of the Anthropology Club, and then we're going to hold new elections and get new officers in for this year. But the Anthropology Club is just for anybody who's interested in anthropology. You don't have to be a major, you don't have to be a minor. Anyone can join, and it's just kind of a place to get hands-on experience volunteering with the department when they have like a World Anthropology Day. They had like a cool escape room. It was Egypt theme escape room where there was like a mummy and stuff, and you had to find the puzzles and get out. So that was really cool. That was for World Anthropology Day. And then, you know, we volunteer a lot with the Museum of Natural History just because they're up our alley. So and there's World Archaeology Day. So we volunteer at the museum with that, and Muggle Magic because it's science-based.
What's Muggle Magic?
Muggle Magic is a big fundraising event that the museum does every fall. And it's called Muggle magic because science is the magic for Muggles. So it's all science-based. Anthropology, archaeology, history, they play a big part in that event. And so we volunteer there. We volunteer off campus with a couple of things. Mostly it's just the club is just for anthropology interests. Get some hands-on experience to fill out your CV with volunteering in the area. We can put you in touch with mentors if you're like an anthropology major or minor and you're really interested on getting a mentorship or getting a CPI position, stuff like that. So we just really focus on like rounding out the student experience so that you feel like you're prepared to go and do more stuff and just, you know, fill out your CV and round yourself out.
And get involved. You just listed like at least like 5 events that I've never heard of that sounded super fun. And, you know, it's really great seeing clubs get involved, like not just on campus, but with departments outside of campus as well. But the Anthropology Club helped with the Indigenous Peoples Day. Yes, let's talk about that because it was a huge success.
It was so good. Yeah, I'm so sad that I don't know what's going to happen this year. But Indigenous Peoples Day, it was the first time ISU celebrated it. And Indigenous Peoples Day is a substitute for Columbus Day. So it happens on Columbus Day. So it happens on Columbus Day. And Pocatello and ISU have both officially recognized Indigenous Peoples Day. And the city of Blackfoot came last year to read their resolution to acknowledge Indigenous Peoples Day instead of Columbus Day. And so it was the first time they put it on, and the anthropology department helped and the anthropology club helped a lot just with volunteering and setup and things like that. And so it was really fun because you could come and you could see a teepee. You could go inside of it. You could look at it. It was on the quad all day. There was a sunrise ceremony, which was really cool because they had members of the local tribe came out and they did a sunrise blessing. And they sang some sunrise songs and told stories. So that was very cool. And then throughout the day, there was different speakers, different kind of poster sessions, different kind of interest groups you could go and listen to and find out about. And they had a powwow dancers at lunchtime. They had free Indian tacos at lunch. So that was really cool. It was just kind of, you know, an entry into learning about our neighbors, you know, because ISU is on traditional tribal lands of the Chauvin tribes. So just to acknowledge that and acknowledge our neighbors and acknowledge, you know, the land we're standing on, it was really cool. So I hope we can do something again this year for it. So I think it's really important.
Yeah, and I think it's really important to keep recognizing this day continuously, just my personal opinion, especially Idaho being such traditional native land and living so close to a local tribe. The Shoshone-Bannock tribe has been really phenomenal this summer, at least with standing up for just local issues and making their voices heard and being involved with community politics and being involved with Pocatello and Fort Hall and everything as well. So I thought it was a great event. Walking to class and seeing everything go on made me happy. So I'm excited for this year, hopefully. I shouldn't say I'm excited for this year. I am hoping for the best.
Yeah, this year will be interesting. But I mean, even if they just, even if they just had the teepee out and like information to read as you could in between classes, it would be really cool. Because I think, you know, just exposing students to that is important because, you know, people have lived here their whole lives and maybe they don't know. And so just introducing it to students is, again, you know, just makes you better world citizens when you know about your neighbor cultures and things. So,
yeah, and they're amazing and interesting history. So agreed. So how did you first hear about ASISU?
I first heard about it when my husband ran for office last year, and just watching him in the election process and then getting to know all of the amazing people that he got to know, like you, like Christoph, you know, like Ayush. And so that was kind of my entry into it. And then I was like, wait, you guys get to do what? Like, I thought it was so cool that we do have like a representative for the student body that you could go talk to if you need something, if you have real questions. and they can find answers and they can get back to you. And what really piqued my interest is seeing how ASISU could help fund different programs and different clubs and different special activities that I don't think a lot of clubs and students know about. If you want to have a special event on campus and maybe you don't have enough money right now to make this really cool big, you know, community thing happen, there's ways for you to get funding. There's ways for you to get loans. There's ways for you to get grants to pay for, you know, an amazing activity that you want to showcase something, you know, with ISU in the community. And so I was really intrigued by that. It's like the idea of the Communiversity really is something that I am super into. I think that's so cool because, like I said, I'm born and raised in Pocatello. ISU was always kind of at the back of my mind while I was living here, but it didn't used to feel like a Communiversity. It was like ISU does their thing, we do our thing. You know, they're there. I go to the sub to play pool and bowl, but like, that's it. So the outreach between the university and student body and then the community, I think that's a really cool thing that we should really showcase. And it's a new kind of change that I'm excited about. So that's what drew me in, was the ability to help clubs and help organizations get the kind of funding, get the kind of help they need to do really cool events to showcase ISU.
Yeah, and I like the word you use, because that's what I've been feeling and just haven't been able to put a word to it yet. It's the Communiversity, that the effort that ISU and the community are both putting forth to combine it. Just driving around town, it feels like a college town, you know, or Pocatello has always kind of felt like a college town just for the fact it is, but it finally feels like everybody's orange and black. Everybody's a Bengal yeah. now. Like, you can mm-hmm. drive to Chubbuck and you see orange and black. It's not just around yeah. campus. So
yeah, it used to just kind of be homecoming week was orange and black. But now more and more I see that businesses are promoting ISU all year long, and they have, you know, banners up, and they've got pennants up, and they've got neon lights that, you know, just have ISU stuff all year round. I think that's really cool. And more places are catering to students and, you know, offering student discounts and offering student programs and things like that. So I think it's really cool. It's a really big change that it does make it feel more like a school town. Like, the town is invested in the students, and I think that's really cool. So if the students can turn around and give something back to the community in the form of a really cool event like Indigenous Peoples Day or something like that, that's what I'm really excited to try and work out.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see how that works out as well, even though COVID's gonna definitely yeah. put a little a little screw in things. But I, for me personally, being involved in my club that I'm in, we've already been brainstorming a bunch of different COVID-friendly fundraisers that we can do that still involve our community and our students but keep people safe. Mm-hmm. And the students at ISU are so creative. So I'm yeah. actually am excited to see what events people are yeah. going to pull off this year.
Yeah, it's going to be super creative. It's going to be super different. And to incorporate the community and the ISU students. And I feel like ISU students really know how, you know, we figured out Zoom, we figured out Google Meets, we've got it down now, we know how to use it. But to incorporate our community, it's going to be really cool. It's going to be really interesting to make that happen. So
definitely a challenge, but ASISU has students' backs to do that. Besides just the club funding and being able to, or being just the hub of information and I guess the student safety net, I'm going to describe ASISU. My last interview, I talked with Ayush, and he talked about how ASISU is going to pay for COVID-19 testing, and he's also looking for any ways for ASISU to help the student body any way they can. So I thought that was really cool. Besides, you know, the pandemic, are there any other issues on campus that you would want to address? I know, like, COVID kind of took over everything, but if that wasn't happening, is there anything you'd want to address?
Some of the stuff that I was interested in looking at before all of this happened was student outreach to the community, student outreach to their larger student body. The more you have students involved in cool activities, in groups, in their community, the higher their success rate is, the higher their graduation rates are going to be, the higher our retention rates are going to be. If we can make this cool, fun, exciting university with space that, you know, promotes our students and showcases our students, the people are more likely to stay here, and they're more likely to stay here through graduate studies and, you know, stuff like that. So that's one thing that I'm really excited for. So we'll have to see, you know, like you said, what kind of events we can do with COVID. But besides that, just trying to make our spaces more inclusive is something that I am interested in looking at. Mm-hmm. I did a literature review study for Indigenous Peoples Day last year for the poster session about the effects of indigenizing college spaces. So things like using traditional words as place markers instead of, you know, English words, or having them right next to each other. Like the University of Alberta is a really good example. They list their street names in English, but then they also list their street names in the native language. So I think that's really cool. And so outside of it, just introducing your student body to the Indigenous people of your area, a lot of research has shown that by being more diverse and more inclusive of that one culture, of your Indigenous culture, more students of minority groups feel included, even though it might not be their community that you're specifically showcasing. If you, you know, if you do that work to make sure people know about and include Indigenous culture and language and heritage just in the campus, then other minority groups are going to feel more comfortable because they can see that you are making an effort to reach out to be inclusive, to, you know, be concerned with and take care of these other cultures, that it makes everybody feel more comfortable. So, you know, our international students come from all over the world. And so that's something that was really appealing to me, is by, you know, focusing on the Indigenous cultures here in, you know, Pocatello, in southeastern Idaho, in our greater area, we can actually make our international students feel more comfortable because they can see we're being inclusive. They can see that we're being conscious of what we say and what we do. And we, you know, our international students are a big chunk of our student body. So if we can do things to, you know, make them feel more comfortable, make us feel more welcoming, that could be a really good avenue for us to pursue, just as far as student recruitment, student retention, stuff like that. So that's one thing that I'm super interested in, is just indigenizing college spaces, seeing what we can do besides just like the peace pole and the welcome wall to really show that, you know, we're invested in our different cultures. We're invested in all these people that come, that choose to come here to study with us. So
that small little change, like something I never would have thought of it that whole time. It just, I don't know, it did something for me. Like, just, I'm just imagining seeing just the English name as well as just like the native name alongside it. And that just made me feel a little bit more comfortable as a woman of color, a Latina woman of color. I've always noticed when they put like the Spanish, like the double Spanish translation. And for me, growing up in an area that has a lot of primarily like Hispanic population, I'm like, okay, that's cool. Idaho is doing something to be inclusive of that population, but taking it that step forward and doing it of the people who were the Indigenous peoples who were here before any of us, and making sure they're included and giving that signal out to our international population, that's such a freaking cool idea. I am in love with that.
And all for it. Yeah, like you said, it is kind of like signaling to them. Like they might not immediately connect it themselves consciously, but seeing that we're open, that we're inclusive, that we're being conscious of this other culture whose land we're on, you know, it, even though we might not have our street names in Nepalese or, you know, something else, it's like they can see that we're being inclusive. They can see we're being careful with our wording, careful with our actions. So something like that, I think, would really appeal to, you know, broader student base. And like I said, help with student retention and student, you know, just getting people here and getting them excited. So,
yes, I love that. Senator Pascali, you're going to do some great things for this school. So we're getting close to wrapping this up, And I think this whole conversation has been extremely positive and really refreshing, especially with the just state of world events that we're all facing. So in the midst of all this, what's one thing that gives you hope?
I think that I've seen a lot, even though our students have been spread out this summer, and even if we're not spread out, you know, we're spread out across town and we're staying at home, and you know, we're not, I haven't seen a lot of you know, people on my feed who are going out and doing stuff. So I don't know how to say it, like, even though our students are spread out all over the place, or spread out in their own homes, you know, being safe this summer, I feel like we've kept some really good connections, and we've had a lot of students out there doing good work and connecting with people, connecting to our community. And so I just seeing the kind of drive and connections that students can do and students can make and things they can accomplish even during a lockdown, even during a pandemic, you know, that is really amazing to me. And just that's what gives me hope, is like, look at the stuff that we can get done while we're, you know, in a pandemic, social distancing, trying to be safe. Like, we can still do all these amazing things. I've seen, you know, groups that have started pantries, you know, you fill out a form and you get a pantry box, no questions asked. They deliver like every single week. And I've seen other groups who have, you know, held marches and held vigils and things for really important topics that are going on right now. And I've seen groups who have offered to go do the shopping for people who are immunocompromised or elderly, you know, or have children and can't get out, they don't want to go shopping. So I've just seen our Bengal community do some crazy amazing things this summer with all of these other hurdles in front of them. So I'm really hopeful that we can do some more amazing things during this year when we're all back together and connecting more. I think it's going to be really fantastic.
Agreed. Oh, I'm just cheesing. That made me so happy. Is there any closing thoughts?
You know, just coming from Senate, or just coming from the Senate training session and talking with leaders on campus this last week. And my closing thoughts just for, you know, our larger Bengal community is, do what you can to stay safe. You know, we want to be on campus. We want to be able to have some kind of interaction, some kind of events, you know, be it online or whatever. We want people to be active and, you know, on campus, going to class, doing everything. So be as safe as you can. You know, follow the rules we have in place for, you know, our roaring back this fall. You can go to, what is it, isu.edu/roaringback, and you can get the information for safety procedures, you know, things to keep us safe. Just keep all of our students safe. If you keep yourself safe, you keep your classmates safe, you keep your work safe. So I don't know, just, you know, stay safe out there. If you need help, contact somebody. Senate has a lot of good things we can help with. The Roaring Back page has a lot of good tips and tricks and things. You know, the health center, the counseling and testing center. I know as we come back, it's going to get crazy. It's going to get stressful. It's different. So, you know, keep tabs on these important places that you might need to reach out to. Just, you know, be as safe as you can and reach out for assistance. If you have questions, if you have needs, you know, we have so many programs that can help people, be it, you know, tutoring or counseling or COVID testing or help paying for COVID testing. You know, just be safe, reach out. So
be safe, reach out, and stay positive, Bengals.
Yes, exactly. Stay positive, stay hopeful.
Thank you so much, Pam.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks, Natalie.
KISU's ASISU Speaks is supported by ISU Credit Union, part of the fabric of Southeast Idaho since 1952, with offices in Burley, Blackfoot, Pocatello, and Idaho Falls. ISU Credit Union's continuing support for the ISU community includes funding for many clubs and organizations. There are two branches on the Pocatello campus where an account can be quickly set up that meets the specific needs of the educational community. ISU Credit Union, the credit union that roars.